Well, my name is Randy. It's a thrill to be here with you. It's awesome to be in the Okanagan. We've only been here a couple years. We moved up to Vernon from Vancouver. And, you know, it's been great getting to know Kevin again. We knew Kevin way back at Regent College. I graduated 2 years before him. That doesn't mean he took longer. I can't remember when he started or when, but we were around there. We were there around the same time, and it was great to get to know him then. But we've come up to Vernon. This is my family. I think we have a, there we are. Anyone know where we are in that picture? Favorite place, yeah, the Mad Hatter's teacups in Disneyland. So that's my family. We've loved Vernon, loved the Okanagan, even Kelowna occasionally. If you know from Vernon, you know, we just see Kelowna as this one big strip mall that we try to avoid if we can, but we can't always. No, it's all right. No, it's a beautiful, wonderful place, and we love it. I know. What am I doing here, right? I'm helping you focus on God, not on me. All right, let's have the focus be on God. Well, it's awesome getting to know our neighbors in the Okanagan, and including this church. As pastors, as Carly mentioned, we get together every month, and so it's been wonderful getting to know the other pastors. And the changing face of the Okanagan. In our church, we've invited in a Korean congregation in the last 8 years, and they worship with us, and we get to work in our Korean as we do scripture reading in both languages on occasion. And that's been wonderful. Both churches, I know, have been connecting with Cheryl Bear, our church, and you. Had her come and do her concert, her story and song in the fall, seeking to learn how to engage our Indigenous neighbors. And that's been a thrill. And even Vernon, I know, has a number of refugees in our neighborhood. And maybe some of you know this last week, on Thursday was World Refugee Day, and Friday was National Indigenous Day, reminders of us to focus on these people groups and how do we become neighbors to them. I know even in Vernon, Zahair, from Syria, Zahair who cuts hair. He cuts my hair. I'm due for one soon, my wife told me this week. I said, okay, I'll get there. Zahair, a great young Syrian family. Who ever thought 10 years ago, these are some of the conversations and some of our neighbors that we'd have here in the Okanagan? It's great to have African neighbors here join us as well. And amazing. Dorothy, it's great to hear what you're doing. I'm glad that you've been here and had an impact here in this church, and that you get to go back with the love that they've given you. Now, I know at Vernon First Baptist, we've begun an envisioning process. Who does God want us to be in 5 to 10 years? So this question of welcome is big for us. What is Jesus' vision for us and the mission in this time and in our place? And I know you've just done that recently. Kevin shared with me some of that and given me some resources, which has been great. I think you guys came up with, it's connect, belong, behave. That's what he told me. He's trying to get that into you. Oh, no, it's engage. That's right. Connect, belong, engage. That's right. Behave was the theme of your last church, wasn't it? Yeah. That's why you're here. Now, well, you've been going through this sermon series. It really comes out of that envisioning process to then say, what is our praxis? What is our practice of how we do this faith? Great to do right after you've done an envisioning process. It makes sense to focus on it. You've talked about what God wants you to be, and now you're putting those words into action. What is our praxis? I'm thankful for a sister church that's gone on before us in this. Of course, one of the great practices of the faith has always been hospitality or welcome. Now, I'm sure you have a hospitality team here. Anyone a part of that hospitality team? Oh, we got a few hands there. Yeah, you know, greeters, welcomers, very important ministry. Yet often we can limit our theological praxis of welcome or biblical hospitality to how we greet people when they come through our door, when they arrive at our church, or how good the coffee is. And I must admit, we meet here most often, as I come from the north and the other pastors come from the south. And Kevin sometimes has put on some coffee for us that's been questionable. But he's starting to get a lot better, so I'm not sure who to thank for that, but someone's been encouraging him. Thank you, Carly. Yeah, oh man. Yeah, no, it's great. We meet here and we come up. But it's not how good the coffee is, necessarily. That's not just hospitality or welcome. Very important. Very important for me, too, you can tell. Right? Or the goodies that we have. Or even when we just invite people into our homes. Also very important. All of these are good things. And at times, it can feel like a lot of work. Sometimes we come out of our comfort zone even in just those things. But then a pastor gets up in front of you and says, that's not enough. Of course, it doesn't matter what I think, really, does it? What matters is what God thinks. And we can read about that right here in Romans 15. And we're going to do that. You can turn with me. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to follow me into the Word, Romans 15. You're going to go 1 to 13. And I'm going to read that at this point, and I invite you, if you're able, to stand with me for the reading of the Word. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with this hope. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, and one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we offer ourselves to you this morning. Speak through your word to our hearts, to our minds. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I think you know what it's like to be welcomed. I had a really nice welcome as I came in this morning. Saw many people greeting each other. To step into a home and feel like you are at home. You know, we were looking for a new massage therapist when we came to Vernon, and I found one that was 2 blocks away from our church. I was so excited. I'm like, oh, that's great. My back's feeling a little sore. Maybe I can book in later today. And I look online, and she books out 6 months out. I'm like, I'm not sure how my back's going to be by then. I found somebody else out. We did book with her because we highly recommended, and she's incredible. I walked in there. Such a great welcome. You know, just this beautiful place with time given to set aside. I know a great new massage therapist here in town. Just started with a clinic at Momentum. If you need a recommendation, you come talk to me. I'll tell you about Dan. That kind of welcome, though, that we can get in certain places just echoes a little bit how God welcomes us. That's what Paul's pointing to right here. The type of welcome that God gives us. Verse 7, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. It is God who gives us the example of welcome. the expectation to be welcoming and accepting. This is the core of who God is. Now we can go back to the beginning, of course. God, content as the Trinity, still decides to create us, to share the love that God expresses within that Trinity, to welcome us into this eternal love that is already shared. Then there is, of course, the covenant with Abram, an invitation, a welcome from God to become a great nation and a blessing to others. Did you see that in our passage? Verse 8, "For I tell you that Christ has become a servant to the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises, the covenant made to the patriarchs might be confirmed." God told Abraham, "You're going to be a blessing to all nations." And yet somehow the Israelites kept failing at that. And Jesus comes to fulfill, to be that welcome, to bring everyone in. That's why there's all this bit about the Gentiles at the end of this passage. "I will sing praises among the Gentiles. Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." This great welcome that was extended to Abraham is then extended to all of us. You got to remember, of course, we're the Gentiles here, aren't we? We're Gentiles. We've been welcomed. Now, anyone remember that great song of old, that classic of our hymnody, Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. I know it seems a bit sexist now, doesn't it? But the best part of that song is where we all end up flailing around, you know, right arm, left arm, and we're bobbing our heads and we're wagging our tongues. Even a Baptist church seems a little charismatic at that point. You with me? Carly, are you teaching this? No, you're not. You're not teaching this to your... Oh, my goodness. Our traditions are falling apart, people. Now, you are teaching and modeling, welcoming. I saw that. Yeah, absolutely. Now, truly, the best part of the song is when we sing, "Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord." A simple little kid song, a lot of fun. That's Paul's theological treatise here in Romans. That we are all included. Reminds me, echoes that Ephesians 1:3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Amen? Okay, are we that kind of Baptist church? Feel free. Now, we've been caring for gentlemen in our church. I say caring for, we've been in relationship with, though it's been a little bit of a caring, extension of caring. It's been fighting addiction for the last 20 years. Brought to us because a pastor met him on the street and he couldn't get to that church. And we had built up relationships. And so he said, "Hey, I know this pastor, I think he'd welcome you in." And we met. He didn't want to come to church at first, but we met and we talked. Explained, "Hey, yeah, this could be a place for you to journey, continue your journey with God from where you are at." That's not our usual demographic, let me be honest. And I wondered, would he feel welcome coming in on a Sunday morning? Now, we have a balcony, and so he just sit up at the balcony for the first few weeks. Eventually, as people got to know him, as they reached out to him, that usual separation that we'd have, a difference of understanding, broke down. And people welcomed him into the community. And Jesus came to help us get back on this welcoming image of God. You remember how he spoke to the woman at the well? "The time has come to worship the Father in spirit and in truth." How he accepted her, how she was, how he welcomed her, empowered her to become the first evangelist as she ran into the town. And you know the story of the prodigal son, of course. And the scandalous image of a patriarch hiking up his robes, running out to meet the waste of time and energy, the disrespectful, good-for-nothing son. that easily could have been turned away, and he ran out to welcome him. This is the example. Another great example of welcome in our modern age is a show called The Kindness Diaries. And we're going to run a little clip of some of this just in the background here. Anyone heard of this, Kindness Diaries? There's a few of you. Anyone heard of Netflix? A few more, only a few more. Okay, that's all right. We'll bring you into this century. No, I know you have. You just didn't want to admit it. I know, that's okay. I'm with you. Leon Logothetis started this. Will it run? Yeah, go ahead and click it, and it'll run. We'll see some images of the show. What If All Your Dreams Came True? He decided, he's a man from the UK, and he came up with this idea to drive around the world, and he has this little yellow motorcycle that he calls Kindness One, and he's just going to go around and extend kindness to people, but he's going to rely on their kindness, including this man, Tony. This incredible little clip here. He is only going to travel and receive kindness from people. He has to rely on them to fill his gas tank, to give him food, a place to stay. Tony, the African-American man, says, "You can come stay at my place." You saw his place. The entryway of a school ground, just gave him one of his blankets and a mat. He stayed with him. He had to rely on the kindness of Tony. Now, the little switch in the story, of course, is that he turns around. He's actually quite wealthy. And he looks for people that extend that kind of welcome to him, and he wants to extend welcome to them. And so he buys Tony a house and pays for some courses for him to become a chef again, and then stays in relationship with him. It's an incredible story. I recommend it. The Kindness Diaries, check it out. Showing God's welcome. Throughout the history of Israel, God, time and time again, welcomes back this nation. Extending grace, always hopeful, especially through Jesus. Except, of course, when we're not always living out that same welcome, because God expects us to be who we were created to be in God's image, to be that welcoming presence. There is an expectation. Radical hospitality is a natural outcome of receiving God's radical hospitality. If we're not living it out, we're not fully grasping God's heart. In Genesis 18, we see the great opportunity that Abraham has to extend welcome. Again, the Lord appeared to him in the plain of Mamre as he sat out in his tent door about the heat of the day. As he lifted up his eyes, he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. This is a fascinating image of Abraham connecting with God, and then these three people come to him. Now, Henry Nouwen says this in his book, Reaching Out, hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. He would say that the movement that we do in hospitality is from hostility to hospitality, where we see people as other, as questionable. And we need to create space for them to come in. Abraham knew the welcome of God, didn't he? He met with the Lord, and his response was to show this radical hospitality to the people, the next people he meets. Looking down, Rublev painted this icon, which is incredible. Explains what's going on here. These are the three that he meets with, and Rublev says there's this constant submission. He would see this as the Trinity, a representation of the Trinity that meets with Abraham. And Abraham goes running around. He's like, let a little water, I pray, be brought. Wash your feet and rest yourselves. I will bring a morsel of bread. Then Abraham made haste into the tent upon Sarah and said, make ready at once 3 measures of fine meal. And then he ran to the beasts and he took a tender and good calf and gave it to the servant who hasted to make it ready. And then he took butter and milk. I don't know if he had to make the butter out of the milk. But then he took the calf and he brings it all and he stood himself by them. And they ate. We are to welcome others as God welcomes us. The reality is, Abe, whether you agree with this being the Trinity or not, you can't be sure. But Abe is blessed to be a blessing, and that's unavoidable. Now, Jesus says it even clearer than Moses, who tells this story, or Paul in Romans 15. In Mark 9, he says, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. I love seeing you welcome the kids like that. Or much stronger in the story of the sheep and the goats. And maybe you've heard Keith Green sing this to you. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. Jesus is. In Matthew 25, he puts out the challenge that I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. This is a parable of a king, he's saying, right? I was in prison and you came to visit me. See, this isn't just greeting the people who come to you in a good way. This is much more immersive. They say, when did we see you hungry? We thought we would have recognized you, Jesus. We would have seen you. He's like, no, as much as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And then he says to the goats, those on his left, depart from me, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Well, when? Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. So what holds us back? Why do we not do this at times? Why do we not share this incredible welcome that God shares with us? Well, I think sometimes it's just a matter of us that we haven't experienced or we're out of touch with this incredible welcome, the radical hospitality that God gives us. Verse 4, Romans 15. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Wow. Sometimes in our busy life, we don't stop enough. Sometimes we feel too guilty that we're not reading our Bible and praying enough, even just to recognize Christ accepts us. Christ loves us. If we can revel in that and truly realize how much God has to put up with us to welcome us, how foreign we are to his righteousness, then maybe we can gracefully accept others. God's command makes to make room for the stranger, the foreigner, the ones that take extra energy to engage and welcome. Then those commands make sense. But the reality is we also get tired, don't we? Eh? Amen. You can say amen to that too. Maybe you're sitting here and saying, okay, that's great, Randy. But let me tell you what happens when we feed the hungry, satiate the thirsty, clothe the clotheless, and visit the sick, and fight for justice for the imprisoned. You burn out. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm hot like a candle, then burn out. That's me. You've probably been there. When you did 20 of the 22 jobs in the church, trying to do it all. Listen to what Paul says in this passage. For we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves.
Each of us should please our neighbors. Well, listen how he goes on. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Sit down at the feet of Christ. Take the time. Then serve. Then sit. Then serve. Be with Christ. Then do. Be, do. Be, do, be, do, be, do. Abraham remembers he's hustling to serve these iconic guests, right? But remember, he wasn't just doing this in a Martha busybody way. He had experienced the intimacy of that Mary moment just before Genesis 18. The Lord had met with him, being in the presence of God, and then welcomed others out of that. So important. Don't forget it. There's nothing wrong with being Martha unless you are never Mary. And I don't think that Jesus would have been very happy if Mary ever only sat on the floor. The sheep and the goats apply to her too. We may need to learn endurance and the balance and boundaries necessary to endure. Now, if you want a book to enlighten you and challenge you deeply in this, read Making Room by Christine Pohl. And among so many important things, she says this: boundaries are an important part of making a place physically and psychologically safe. We need to have boundaries when we're serving, when we're reaching out and in a radical hospitality receiving others. Now, let me say that introverts are just as good at biblical welcome as us extroverts. Let me just say that. Better in some ways, because us extroverts can get so caught up in the outer look of welcome, the handshaking, the greeting, the coffee, the multiple conversations, that we miss out on the quiet person on the side, the one that won't come to us because we're overwhelming or too busy, but we'll talk to the person who quietly listens, to the one that will see inside and see their heart. So if you're an introvert, this is for you as well. So if we're tired, we need to learn some boundaries and to rest, and then welcome out of that place of rest and the welcome we receive in God. But we also can be selfish and comfortable, no doubt about it. Paul says, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up, for even Christ did not please himself. This is our reality. Isn't it so much easier to just do what we're used to, just to feel comfortable? We see this in our street church. It's hard to come down. We have street church at 1 o'clock. I'm probably going to go down right after this and help them with some music in Vernon. It's hard to come down and feed the poor and to wonder when you pass that dish to someone and you see their hand, are those germs going to touch you and then crawl up your arm? Filthy hands. It's easier, maybe a little easier, when we stay safe behind the counter and serve the food. But what if you got in line with someone and got a plate yourself and sat down and had a conversation with someone? And to go sit out on the curb, as I'll often do, sit out on the curb with the person that can't feel safe inside during the worship and the preaching. They don't want to hear it. So I go and I sit down with them. What if we helped them when they were sick? Help them when they went to jail, cleaned up their apartment when they binged and almost died? Maybe it's going to hear someone tell their story, the trauma they experienced. Maybe it's a residential school, or maybe to experience a blanket exercise like the plan is this fall, to understand the Indigenous experience. Of course, any of these things might lead us to building a relationship with some of these neighbors. And that's a little scary, You might be feeling uncomfortable. And I think Jesus came to comfort the distressed, but sometimes he distresses the comfortable. This is the challenge of hospitality, of true welcome. But if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, this is Jesus' command to us, this is the challenge set before us. Yes, it starts with how we accept each other and show God's love to each other unconditionally. This is a beautiful place to practice it. But we don't just stay here. We need to reach out. William Temple said, "The church is the only society that exists not for itself. We exist for outside." When Henry Nouwen continues that quote that I showed you, he says, "Hospitality means primarily the creation of free space." Remember? He goes on to say, "Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It is not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom, not disturbed by dividing lines." Now, I know that for some people, just having other people over to their house can cause anxiety, right? Or even just engaging in conversations with acquaintances, never mind strangers, can be hard. But welcome is opening our hearts in small ways and little ways, sometimes big ways. Opening our homes, creating safe places. This is God's call to us, his invitation to us to join him in this grand welcome, whether that's in our church or in our living rooms, more importantly, just in our conversations, in our hearts. To love someone is to put them at ease and then invite them into the goodness and the fullness that you've experienced. Well, our neighbors, when we first moved into Vernon, we have these wonderful neighbors. He's French-Canadian. Don't hold it against him. He heard a Baptist minister was moving in next door. And he said, "Oh, bleep, there goes the neighborhood." He didn't say bleep. He says, "Now we have to move." And he really thought he might have to. Thankfully, we started to get to know each other. And I've started hearing their story. I came to visit them, his wife, when they were in the hospital here in Kelowna. We've done some skiing together, even had a fun game of spike ball. He had no clue what that was in our yard just the other night. We look after each other's cats, which means we each have a key to their door. We let each other into each other's homes. Now, we haven't sat and had meals together yet. I haven't convinced anybody of anything yet. But in the end, he was happy that it was us that moved in. And I've experienced his welcome, maybe as much as he's experienced mine, heart to heart, home to home. And what about that young man that journeyed with us in our church? We got him into a long-term recovery, some treatment, when he had fallen off the wagon. Recently, he's fallen back off the wagon. He's going through a horrible time. Not sure if he's going to live on the streets again. This was just last week. And a couple in our church have taken him in. They've never done anything like this before. They've taken him in, treating him as a son, extending God's welcome to him, just as God has extended it to them. And we're journeying alongside them as a church. I said, "You can call me night or day if you need help. I'm going to come and visit. We're going to work together for holistic help for this man, our brother, our friend." And we'll journey alongside them and him. This is how God is with us, accepting us in the midst of our brokenness. And this is the welcome, scandalously, radically open welcome that we can extend to others. May we join in the joy of the Lord as we do the same. We're going to pray. I invite the team to come up, and they're going to sing a song for the one. It really exemplifies this message of seeing people and blessing them. So let's pray together. God, you know exactly our hearts. You know how we're receiving this message, if we're feeling guilty that we're not doing enough, if we're feeling like we're doing too much already, if we're feeling uncomfortable. Who do we reach out to? How do we reach out? God, I know that you, by your empowering presence, your Holy Spirit in us, is super excited just to join us on that journey. You didn't come to condemn us, but to invite us into your fullness and to turn around and to invite others into that. So this isn't a journey of guilt, of feeling bad about this. This is a journey of recognizing your heart for others in this neighborhood, in our neighborhoods, people that are different than us, the stranger, the foreigner. God, continue to work in us, as I see you doing in this church, to extend your welcome, your radical hospitality to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.